It goes back to that idea of just lunches don't need to be hard.
No.
They can be simple. And that this is, we say this after having struggled for years with the concept of school lunch. Ella went from like having us make all of her lunches and like really she ate a wide variety of things. She would have pesto, she would have like chickpea cakes, she had all kinds of food. Her teacher said that she ate better than them. And then she had to have like the snacks and all the other foods, and like other kids got involved. And she wanted the dino nuggets. She wanted the Lunchables. She wanted all the processed, like, crap. Not, I mean, it's food. It's not crap, but it's just we're able and we've worked hard to be able to provide her good quality food. And it was like heart-wrenching.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We are going to discuss a topic today that we probably broached on the podcast before.
Yeah, it's been a while though.
But we're going to give you yet another reason why you should be making your kids' lunches or even making your own lunch. For lack of better words, or for in reality. But before we jump into that, we are going to thank you guys for listening today. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you listeners.
True.
We would just be speaking into the void, essentially.
Yeah, or just, Shannon would just gosh, we're talking to each other.
Yeah, Shannon would just be listening to me ramble on about God knows what. So thank you guys for listening. If you haven't done it already, please give us a rating review. We're already going to thank you. Pre-thank you. I'm giving you pre-thanks for doing that.
Pre-thanks. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, also share the podcast with a friend. Super easy to just find a link that you enjoy or an episode you enjoy and text the links to somebody. Super easy. And last but not least, follow us on Instagram at the ATF Podcast. So, training recaps for the week. How was your training for this week?
It was good.
Yeah.
Yep. I have 4 days in, but I did some longer workouts. I did some spinning. I did some strength. I did, some more like 40, 45 minute workouts. And I also did some shorter workouts sort of towards the beginning of the week when I didn't have a lot of energy. So that was nice. I had been the week prior was a very low energy week, so there wasn't a whole lot more than just like stretching, but I was really glad to be kind of back at my good energy levels this past week.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say we had a throwback episode last week, so my previous week was pretty jiu-jitsu intensive, I would say. I got to another 3 days of jiu-jitsu last week. I've been feeling good, feeling my technique and my I would say execution is on point. Last week, I wasn't able to go to as many classes, but still got to go and pop in and get some work in. My schedule is getting super busy with new clients, and I looked ahead at this week. It might be even less jiu-jitsu this week. But I have been able to supplement with workouts in the morning here at the house, whether it be on the Peloton or with the kettlebell. So I'm looking to probably going to be adding more of those. So I do like 10-minute interval workouts in the morning, whether it be upper body focus or lower body focus, and always do some intervals with multiple kettlebell exercises strung together. Like my go-to lower body, split squats, staggered deadlift, kettlebell swings. Those are my go-to. That's like my go-to interval. And I have a mini band, so I might do some like mini band step outs or clamshells, something like that.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that I can keep this on, keep that trend going this week, maybe get into jiu-jitsu when I can. But I'm excited to have a very full schedule of clients and a potential new client. So clients, I should say. So I'm looking forward to doing that. Our main topic of discussion for this week's podcast, as we alluded to in the beginning, is lunches. The genesis of this podcast was really started with an article you found in USA Today. I forgot the A.
It's like, what are you stumbling over? This is not a difficult Today, name.
About how the Consumer Reports found that Lunchables, everybody's favorite or a very popular
takes me back.
A kid's pre-made lunch, had high levels of lead, sodium, and cadmium. So they actually found some phthalates or everywhere chemicals, I think that's what they're called nowadays, in some of particular types of Lunchables. So they did say this in Consumer Reports that none of the levels that they found exceeded any like regulations.
Right.
But they did find high levels of those things inside the meal.
I like the reason, I'm just going to give a little bit of background. So why this jumped out at me, because this was not at all something that I was surprised about.
Right.
Like I remember Lunchables. We are old enough that we remember when Lunchables first came onto the market. It was when we were in schools. Mm-hmm. And it was like revolutionary, and it was so cool that everything, you got like all your little pieces. Looking back, I'm like, why the hell would I want some crackers and cheese when I could have had a really good sandwich? Mm-hmm. I don't know why. It was what is so like alluring about the Lunchables? I have no idea. But then we had a kid, and you know, here it is, 20 years later, Lunchables are still on the scene, and I don't think they've changed at all. Like, maybe they'll throw like some different things. They said in this article, yeah, we've partnered with like this better meat company, and you know, our cheeses are better and our crackers have less sodium, and that's all fair. But like, still in my heart of hearts, I knew this is not crap that my kid was going to eat. And Ella freaking loves the concept of Lunchables. And I'm guessing some kids in her class must eat them.
Oh, yeah.
Because she knew what Lunchables were before we even said the word or the name. And we never buy them. So she's like, I just want Lunchables. Why can't I have Lunchables? And like, we've had like arguments with her about like, no, I will get you crackers. I will get you cheese. I will get you meat. I will get you, you know, all like, you know, additional accoutrement. I'm not buying you Lunchables. So this article, I was just like, I am vindicated.
Yeah. I mean, we essentially make her like a charcuterie plate.
Yeah. I mean, and she loves it.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like typically the Lunchable, as you probably, many of you remember it who are listening, highly processed meats and cheese. Sometimes they do now apparently contain food or food. Jeez.
Yes, they fruit. Contain food.
They contain fruit. This has been a long day for me. They contain fruit and they're supposed to have more protein. So I don't know if they add like something that, like a nut based protein thing in it now. But they still have like the pizza one, which never made any sense to me.
Because it's still cold.
It's cold pizza. I mean, I don't mind
melty.
Cold pizza.
It's not pizza.
But it's like a big cracker, marinara sauce, and cheese on top of it.
Yeah, like it's like cheese bits.
Yeah, and I think that was the one that they found the phthalates in. So it was like, it's
gross.
It's kind of gross, you know. Granted, I mean, I can't judge too much. I ate bologna growing up as a kid. Talk about processed meats. I think that's the poster child for processed meat is bologna. But it's, I will say that I did eat Lunchables as a kid. I mean, I understand the idea, the allure of them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they have small portions for kids.
I thought they were really cool when I was a kid.
They're probably priced right.
You know?
They always have, yeah, like probably like a small treat in there too. And they're easy for parents, you know, parents who don't have time
it's
to make
ready-made
the lunches
lunch.
And stuff. Yeah, exactly right. They've got so, I mean, they're so, I don't know if ubiquitous is the right word, but they are on the list of like the preferred school lunch items for the USDA.
Yeah.
So this article was talking about how basically it's Lunchable kits made specifically. Apparently, there's Lunchables that are made specifically for schools that are eligible to be served to children under the National School Lunch Program.
Right.
And one of the head, I guess, directors of the Consumer Report said that he believes that based on this results or this research, they should not be serving this to kids in schools. So, I mean, I think that's a pretty powerful statement to come out and say that he doesn't think it should be that kids should eat it, you know. And I, like you said, we understand the allure to it. I mean, we make Ella's lunch every day.
It was a freaking genius. Like back in the day, I also, as like a kid, like bite-sized things, you know, like simplified foods, but like in small forms, all in one package. It was perfect. Mm. I mean, it really was a stroke of marketing brilliance because all they did essentially was package a small, poor quality charcuterie board.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kid-friendly version. And I mean, we snack on crackers and cheese and meat all the time.
Like that.
And sometimes we made a meal out of it. But it's a different quality. And as soon as, you know, I think I was aware of nutrition and I actually came across one of these things as an adult, I was like, oh gosh, no. Like, no, no, no. So when Ella started asking for it, I was just like, I know, I get it. Like, I really do. These things have been around a while. They're clearly successful. But it goes back to that idea of just lunches don't need to be hard.
No.
They can be simple. And that this is, we say this after having struggled for years with the concept of school lunch. Ella went from like having us make all of her lunches and like really she ate a wide variety of things. She would have pesto. She would have like chickpea cakes. She had all kinds of food. Her teacher said that she ate better than them.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had to have like the snacks and all the other foods. And like other kids got involved. And she wanted the dino nuggets. She wanted the Lunchables. She wanted all the processed, like, you know, crap.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I mean, it's food. It's not crap, but it's just we're able and we've worked hard to be able to provide her good quality food. And it was like heart-wrenching to see that, A, unfortunately, schools prioritize like loads of carbs and processed foods as snacks, no matter how, you know, how good of a school that she is in. It's just what they do. And we can't, there's no way that we can avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to get her to eat sandwiches. Kid does not like sandwiches, everybody. Shocking as that may seem, she does not enjoy sandwiches. So that takes out a lot of options for like the lunches as I knew them. So we've had to get creative.
Yeah.
We've tried so many things. Now we have accepted lunches do not have to be complicated. They can be simple. So we make our own version of Lunchables, and you, thankfully, spend time putting, you know, fruits and nuts and, you know, all kinds of good things, vegetables in there with these foods. Does Ella eat them every day? No.
No.
But even if we just get, like, one or two of them in her, I feel like that is the win.
Right. I agree. You know, and like I said, we're pretty fortunate that I think people that, and I don't, when we're going bouncing around here, it's Don't be disappointed if the kids don't eat what you put in their lunches. Sadly, like you said, they're going to get the opportunity to eat the other stuff because, I mean, she gets snacks at after school care.
She gets like Cheetos.
It's, I mean, literally it's junk food.
Just so terrible.
But anywho, we know what's going to happen. And I think trying to just not stress over that they, you want your kid to eat clean. Yes, we want them to eat healthy food, but it's more understanding what's healthy and what is treats and what is like a snack and stuff like
right.
that. They're going to gravitate to snacking. That's what they're going to do. You know, like you said, the chips, the Cheetos, the candy, the sweet stuff. They're going to gravitate towards that. But, you know, when you try to at least give them better options, they're also going to enjoy that stuff too. Fruit, vegetables, whole foods, like, you know, more higher quality of the Lunchables. You know, Ella, we're fortunate, likes hard-boiled eggs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We make her little mini pizzas and stuff like that we'll put in her lunch. Waffle sandwich, we discovered. That's the only way she can have a sandwich is we make a waffle with peanut butter and jelly in it. So,
yeah.
You know, so it's like you said.
You get some compromise
right.
in there.
Yeah, and I think it's the idea to, and I really believe this is how it kind of it relates to both children and adults, is that when you make the lunch, and I know Ella's not making her own lunch, at least not yet. When you make the lunch as a parent, you put more effort and you have more concern about that if your child is eating correctly or is at least trying to eat better. You know, I think one of the things that happened, and I know everybody doesn't have the option. I mean, I know that's why the school lunches is a thing, you know, because some parents don't even either have the time or the resources to provide lunches.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you do have the time and resources and you're not, you know, making lunches for yourself or for your child, I think that's where things like Lunchables can come in and kind of just the convenience blinds you.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, oh, it's this convenience thing. And I know everybody, time is the greatest resource, but just putting a little bit more effort in, I think you'll be better for it, especially if you're making your own lunch. I think that's one of the keys to having a healthy eating and lifestyle is making your own food, preparing your own food, I should say. But if for your child, they see that too. The fact that they're getting a lunch going with them every day that you prepared. I mean, Ella sees me frequently making her lunch, sees you making her dinner. You know, it's like that rubs off. You know,
mm-hmm.
that definitely is, you know, I think a learning experience for her to see that we're putting effort into preparing meals for her. And I think that's a huge connection to having a proper relationship with food.
Yeah. You know, like you said, you know, we've struggled internally in conversations between us and other adults about the challenge of, you know, like we see her walking out of school with two things of Oreos.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I want to rip out my hair and throw things and be like, I just, you know, like I will bake fresh bread at the house. So that she's getting, like, good quality, like, you know, sourdough, homemade sourdough. And here she is. And treats, like, and good treats, you know, cookies and things with, like, actual, not highly processed all ingredients. And she's walking out with two things of Oreos. And she's like, haha, I already ate one. I'm like, and you have to, you know, it's a balance because, like, if for kids, food is about what they see other people eating, what, you know, what other people say is good, as well as kids just have an affinity for sweeter foods and
right.
like saltier foods.
Yep.
So, and carbs, you know, like they're growing. They can actually eat a lot more carbs than us.
Like, right.
you know, child nutrition is different than adults.
Yeah, absolutely.
We also will say we do not eat 100% clean. Like, we have processed foods.
Yeah.
We do have frozen foods. Like,
mm-hmm.
I make her mac and cheese from, like, the Annie's shells, like the box ones, because I've tried all the other Annie's – all the other, like, versions of mac and cheese. I've tried vegan that I make, you know, myself. I've tried homemade. We go out to eat fancy places. We tried it all. For some reason, NHLs is just the biggest crowd pleaser. And I'm like, you know what? We're gonna take that. Like,
right.
It's one dinner a week, where maybe like a week or every other week, where I'm just like, I'm going to give you this. And you know what? We can share this. It's something I can make quick. I will try to put in some vegetables, some protein, other things. You try to take the wins where you can. So we're not against the idea of processed foods and like convenience, because we have to do it too.
Yeah.
There are some parents that have like horrible guilt because they take their kid to McDonald's. And you know what? I get it.
Right.
When your kid won't eat anything else and a Happy Meal is the thing that's going to go down, you're going to give them the Happy Meal.
I mean, I will say that I ate a ton of fast food growing up. And I don't think it was anything, mainly because, you know, I had two working parents and they had two boys that were all in after school activities almost every day. So it's like running us around. I mean, hard to bring prepared food. Every once in a while they did. They would bring food with them that they made at home, but usually it was stopping by fast food at the end of the night, you know, after the practice or whatever was happening. So I understand the convenience factor, but, you know, I think we're looking.
We're talking like as the regular and what to set as like your foundation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to talk about really good relationships with food. Like don't, we've told Ella, you know, she thinks junk food is like evil. And I actually feel a little bad about that. Not right. Junk food, like fast food.
Right.
And I don't think that we've villainized it, but I think so many other people have around her that she will not go to McDonald's. We've tried. And she like doesn't really like going because she's like, oh, no, it's bad food. We don't really want to set kids up the idea that any food is like bad.
Yeah.
But teaching them quality and like letting them know, you know, these are the foods that are going to help your body grow and help you be sharper and smarter. These are the foods that don't really do anything for you and they taste really good, but they're not going to do anything for you. Make sure you get the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She gets that now, I think. And like if she's having something for lunch that it's just a boiled egg. She eats the boiled egg, fine. Victory, awesome, wonderful. Those are homegrown, organic freaking eggs, you know? Mm. We'll take the victory when we can get them. For the most part.
I think they actually are. Typically, we give them the organic feed, so
yeah.
I think they are, yeah.
So, I mean,
I definitely don't give them antibiotics, so.
No. But, like, it's, you were taking the small victories, and the thing I would say is kids actually really do like the simple things. You think about Lunchables, mm-hmm. bringing it all back.
Yep.
Lunchables are so damn simple. Again, it's cheese and crackers, meat, cheese and crackers in their most basic form. And like adults, like we tend to overcomplicate things. We're sitting there trying to figure out, you know, we were making quesadillas for her at one point, like, you know, mushroom and cheese quesadillas and trying to do all these like fancy things with a sandwich, you know, cut it into shapes and all this. I have so many useless accessories that
cutters,
I bought in, like cookie cutters. I have a box of them somewhere. It doesn't do it, like, especially as they get a little bit older. And certainly for adults, just start simple. Just start simple and make those good options available. Ella will reach for an apple. She will mm-hmm. ask for carrots, cucumbers. She will take that, you know, and that in itself is a victory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is, you know, taking that little bit of extra time to buy the different ingredients.
There you go.
Putting it together into a little package.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's the same thing.
Right. Make your own Lunchables. This is the Lunchable, the prepared ones that are high in these chemicals that we discussed. And make your own.
Yeah. Skip all the processed microwavable meals for your own lunches and make your self a Lunchable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bring the carrots and the cucumber sticks and bring a little thing of dipping sauce. Like, keep it simple.
Yep.
You don't have to go crazy.
Yeah.
You would be shocked.
I think, and I know we're not going to go down this road, but I mentioned it earlier. If you are looking for one action step to help you either start eating right, whether that be to lose weight or just to be more cognizant of the food that's put in your body, just start preparing it more.
Yep.
Okay. So that was a great main topic of discussion. Now we got to tell these people what we're pumped about. In this portion of the podcast called What's Got Us Pumped.
I think we got it.
Normally, I would let you go first, but I'm going to go first.
But not going to be.
Nope. I am pumped that I finally got some seeds started for summer plants.
Yeah.
I got 3 seeds started in the little seed pods that they're growing indoors. I got peas, squash, and cucumbers. So I'm hoping I can get those up and grown to their, you know, maybe a few inches high before I put them in the raised bed. So maybe they give them a better chance of surviving out there.
Yeah.
But also,
a lot of stuff to survive.
Also planted in directly into the bed, some corn. So maybe we'll have some corn stalks this year. Some flowers, some marigolds that are just kind of good pollinators and stuff like that. And I think I've heard they're good at kind of like distracting some of the bugs from eating the actual plants.
Yeah, yeah. And permaculture techniques. Mm-hmm.
And then I transplanted some pepper plants that I bought from Home Depot, jalapeno and an orange pepper. So I'm hoping those will survive. And our garden bed did pretty well. We had a very nice, several tomato plants that are still producing, several collard plants that produced some good leaves for us.
Beautiful nasturtiums.
The nasturtiums are still going crazy in there. So
they're so pretty.
So far so good. And hopefully we'll have a somewhat productive summer. I know it's hard to get stuff going in summer, but
we also have a mystery plant.
Oh yeah, we have two mystery squash plants going off in there.
We don't know what the heck they are.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're gonna be. I thought they were pumpkins. One doesn't look like a pumpkin, one might be a pumpkin, so we'll see what happens. Yeah. How far they go. What about you? What's got you pumped for this week's podcast?
So this will probably be something that we dive into down the road, but I got a red light therapy, like
belt.
Yeah, like a pad or something. You know, it's so we've talked about like LEDs and the different like red light kind of therapies mm-hmm. and products and things. I finally invested in one, and I actually forgot all about it. I know that sounds insane because these things aren't cheap, but I got it on a sale, and they were so backordered because the sale was so wildly successful that they're like, oh, yeah, it'll be there in 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
I bought this earlier this year, folks. It's come in. I started using it, so I'm really pumped because, all you know, the studies and the research, particularly about this product, I felt really good about it. I felt like this was a wise decision. This was a good investment. And now I can start adding this into my routines. Mm-hmm. So I am very excited about that because it can go around like my waist. I'm going to try to use it to kind of ease some of the, you know, the hormonal discomforts, we'll say. But also like your shoulder, you should be using it for your shoulder. It's really great for that.
All right.
So, and they say, you know, after about 4 weeks, you really should start seeing some improvement from consistent use.
Give it a shot, then.
So Ella also has used it. She loved it. She's just like, ooh, it's warm. But yes, that's what's got me pumped this week.
Yeah, maybe get a full product review.
Yes, once we've had it for a bit, maybe we can both try it and give a review.
Sounds good to me. Hopefully you guys are pumped for this entire episode. If you are, let us know by leaving us a rating review in your Apple Podcasts or your preferred podcast app. You can also drop us a line by sending us a DM on Instagram at @theATFPodcast, @theATFPodcast. And don't forget to share the podcast with a friend. Mm-hmm. Got anything else for him tonight?
Nope.
This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.
All right, Five. Thanks for stopping by and checking out another... Thanks for stopping by and... Stop.